Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
It's a tremendous honor for me to be here today. It always is such a blessing for me to come. I come, and I'm so blessed that I want your church to come back with me. Praise God. You really do have something special here, and I'm so thankful for all of you. I want to just get right into the Word today and unpack a phrase that Jesus spoke, probably very familiar to most of you. It's found in John chapter 14 and verse 6. We're just going to take a moment and talk about the precious redemption that Jesus has provided for us through His redemptive work on the cross. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He said, "I am the way." Can we just take a moment, pause there, just have a Selah moment and just think about that? He said, "I am the way. I know the way. I make the way. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." Jesus is the way to God the Father. He is the way to the throne room of God. He is the way to heaven. And He is not a way, but the way. Any other way is a false way. He is the truth. Any other doctrine is a false doctrine. He is the life. Any other way leads to death. But I want to take a moment and just think about the fact that Jesus came from heaven to show us the way. And that's why He said continually to His disciples, He said, "Follow me." He was always saying, "Follow me. Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." I like to say it this way. Follow me and I'll make you. Follow Jesus and He will make you. He'll make you in this life and He'll prepare you for eternity. Jesus said, if you'd come after me, how many of you want to come after Jesus? He said, those that would come after me must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Well, where did Jesus go when He took up His cross? He went to Golgotha. He went to the place of the skull. He went to His own crucifixion. What He did was He died to Himself. He died to His self-will. He died to His own plans. And He embraced fully the plan of God for His life. He knew that He was to become the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And He embraced that plan of God for Him. We have to do the same thing. If we're going to follow Jesus and Jesus is going to show us the way back to the Father, then we have to be willing to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to take up our emblem of death, die to our own self-will, our own plans, even our own identity, except that we're in Christ, and follow Him. He said, "I'm the way. I'll show you the way." And I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus. Who are we to look to? Jesus. Jesus is our example. We're to look unto Jesus. And some people say, well, Jesus was God and Jesus was divine and there's no way that we could be like Jesus. Why would we try to model after Jesus? He's God. And yet if you think that way, you actually run contrary to the will of God, because God the Father sent Jesus to the earth to show us how to live. He is tangible. He is touchable. He left His great weight of power and glory in heaven. He humbled Himself, made Himself of no reputation. He came to this earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He cloaked Himself in frail flesh. He lived like a man. He lived a godly life. That's our example. He went to the River Jordan. He was baptized, not because he had any sin, but because he wanted to please the Father. And while he was being baptized, he came up out of the water. What did he do? He prayed. And what came upon him as he was praying? The Bible says the heavens were open and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him in bodily form like a dove and remained upon him. Think about this. That was the moment that God got anointed. Why would God need to get anointed? He's God. Except that Jesus came to be our model, to be our example. He got anointed because He didn't come to demonstrate God and His sovereignty. He didn't come to demonstrate what God could do alone. He came to show us what men and women can do when they get anointed. Amen. And of course, the Spirit of the Lord led him to the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. He was raised. He took his own blood into the high court of heaven. He purchased our eternal redemption. He made it back to the Father. Think about it. He said, the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. Let's look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, the originator and the completer of, notice, our faith. Didn't say his faith. It's our faith. And you can add the word journey to help you understand it even greater. He is the author and the finisher of our faith journey. You see, where he went, he's now asking us, inviting us to follow him. And we're to follow him. He came to walk out our faith journey. And he will never require something of you that he didn't already do himself. Did he not die on the cross? So that's why he says, you must take up your cross and follow me. Amen. And so I thank God for the example that we have in Jesus. And then notice it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his beautiful love. He set them in a garden. They had face to face, spirit to spirit, heart to heart, fellowship with God. But it was only when they sinned and rebelled against God that all that changed. The Bible says your sin separates you from God. And so God needed a strategy to reintroduce the human race back to him. And so what was the joy of Jesus that allowed him, that gave him the strength and the courage to endure the cross? It was the joy of knowing that he was taking the journey that would restore a fallen human race back to God. He was thinking about you and me. He hung there thinking, if I do this, I'm going to be able to introduce fallen humanity back to my Father. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know what that means? He made it back. He came from heaven to the earth, set the example, paid the price, died the death, was raised from the dead, ascended back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father. He made it back. And now he says, follow me. And if you read the scriptures, we hear it again and again. It's echoing through the scriptures. Follow me, follow me. Why should we follow you, Jesus? I am the way. I know the way. I made the way. I am the way. I am the way. Follow me. Follow me to the right hand of the Father. And what I love about it, the scripture says he sat down. Well, you don't sit down unless the work is finished. Isn't that right? I mean, if you sit down before the work is finished, you could get fired. Amen. But Jesus sitting down is saying to us, the work of redemption is complete. It's done. And that says to me today, as believers, we're not trying to be redeemed. We're not hoping to be redeemed. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. We're redeemed today. Amen. And so the story of redemption is the story of God who sent Jesus to make a way to restore fallen humanity back to God. Jesus says, follow me. So we got to think about these roadblocks. I'm going to talk about five roadblocks that Jesus removed to make a way for fallen humanity to be restored to God. And the first roadblock that we see is the roadblock of sin. As I mentioned before, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. So sin is a roadblock. If we don't see sin dealt with first, we could never get further on down the road. The very first roadblock is the roadblock of sin. And guess what? All has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Now, what does death mean? It means spiritual death, which is separation from God. Again, a roadblock. We've all sinned. We all have a roadblock of sin in our lives. So how did Jesus deal with it? Well, the Bible says he that knew no sin, was he not in constant, continual fellowship with God? There was no roadblock for him. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He became all that we were, that we might become all that he is. We were sinners. He was righteous. He took our sins so that we could have his righteousness. Hallelujah. That's a good God. Can you say amen? Now, how did he do it? Well, I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll have to ask him. But I know this. When he was on the cross, something spiritual happened. Something supernatural happened. And he went all the way back to the garden. And he took the sin of Adam and Eve. And he took the sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl. All along through the history of time. Up until the present when he hung on the cross. But he didn't just stop there. He went all the way into the future. He went all the way into the future to the last man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever draw breath. And what did he do? He took the roadblock out of every person's life. He took their sin upon himself. And he nailed it to the cross. When his body was nailed to the cross, you know what he nailed to the cross? Your sin. He nailed the roadblock to the cross. And he tasted our death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. God punished Jesus so he wouldn't have to punish you. Because God is a loving God, yes, but he's also a just God. He has to punish unrighteousness. But he had a plan for that. And his plan was that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, heaven's most valuable possession, to die in our place. We deserved to hang on that cross that day. But he hung in our place. He is our propitiation. That's a big $25 Bible word. That means he took the wrath of God for us. God had to judge unrighteousness. And guess who he judged? He judged his own Son. He suffered our death. He tasted our judgment. He removed our roadblocks. Think about this. This is another wonderful picture. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, when his flesh was torn, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now that veil separated God from man. God lived behind this thick veil. There was only one time a year that a man could come in there, and it was not without fear and trembling, because if he did something wrong, he'd drop dead in the presence of the Lord. But that veil separated God from mankind. But it wasn't God's plan that God would be forever separated from man. The Bible says when Jesus died, that veil was torn. Well, the book of Hebrews tells us that the veil is Christ's body. And his body became sin on the cross. So that veil represented the body of sin that kept mankind away from God. And when Jesus died on the cross, when God poured out his wrath on his own Son, when Jesus paid the price, God took that veil and said, "This is the list of sins. This is what the world owes because of their sin. I'm going to tear it up." And he just tore it up. He's torn up your sins. The list of your sins, it's gone. He's removed that roadblock. You see, we don't go to hell today because of sin. We go to hell today because we refuse to receive God's free love gift. Amen. When they asked Jesus, how do we get to the Father? How do we get to heaven? He said, you must be born again. See, we're born of water. That's talking about born of the flesh. A woman that's pregnant, that's having a baby, her water will break. But we've got to be more than just born of water. We have to be born of the Spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit. And we're born of the Spirit when we call upon the name of the Lord. We receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Then we're born again. But I'm telling you, God's already dealt with the roadblock of sin. Amen. That roadblock has been removed from your life. The next roadblock is the roadblock of death. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, well, firstly, they had life. They had eternal life. God said, if you rebel against me and you sin, then you're going to die. The day you do it, you will surely die. Of course, God wasn't talking about physical death because they continued on. He was talking about spiritual death, that separation. So if Satan brought sin in, and sin brought about death, then who was in control of death? Satan was. So for Jesus to remove the roadblock of death, he was going to have to break the power of Satan over death. Because Satan had the keys, the authority of death. Now let me give you a wonderful scripture. This is over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children, we're the children, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. You have an earth suit, so do I, flesh and blood. He himself, Jesus, also likewise shared in the same. He became a man because he's going to show us the way, go before us. That through death, and I underline through death, sounds like a journey, does it not? He's got to go through death. You see, if he's going to deal with death, he's got to go through death. If he's going to remove a roadblock, he's got to get there. He's got to go through it. So he's got to die first. And through his death, he can accomplish something. Are you following me? That through death, Jesus might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil didn't know it. But when Jesus died, Jesus destroyed the power of death and the one who controlled it. And that was the devil. Verse 15, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So many people are afraid to die. They're afraid of death. But as believers, we don't have to be afraid of death. Because the scripture says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen? Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'd actually much rather be with the Lord, but being here is beneficial for you. We know that the death of a believer is not the end of it all. It's only a doorway into a greater life. Amen? So when you know these things, you don't have to fear death. Now, death is the last enemy that will be put underfoot, and it will be put underfoot, but I thank God I'm not in bondage to fear. That Satan has been defeated, that the keys of death have been stripped from him, and guess who has them now? Jesus. Jesus has the keys of death. He's removed the roadblock of death. Can you imagine you could do a lot for the Lord in your life if you're not afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die. I bought a life insurance policy. It's $1 million life insurance policy just to protect my wife and kids. And I made my wife as the beneficiary. And I'm not afraid to die. But it's an awkward thing when you wake up in the middle of the night and she's lurching over you, watching you breathe. You see, I'm more valuable dead now than I am alive. Amen. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just wondering how she's going to do it. Amen. Aren't you glad in Jesus Christ you don't have to be afraid to die? To be absent from this earth suit is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Well, let's talk about the roadblock of hell. Jesus went to hell and defeated the devil so we wouldn't have to go there. Wouldn't you think about that? Jesus went to hell. He's going to remove the roadblock of hell. He defeated the devil so that we wouldn't have to go there. Here's a wonderful scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. For had they known, talking about the devil and demon forces, here's the implication. What God was going to do to accomplish, what God was going to accomplish through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They never would have given him access to hell. If they knew what he was going to do to strip Satan of his authority of hell, they never would have given him access to hell. Colossians 2 and 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So what did he do? When he died, they buried his body in a barred tomb. But his spirit went down into the heart of the earth. And he did battle with Satan. And he stripped Satan of all his authority. And he took the keys of Hades, of hell, from him. He took the keys of death and Hades. Let me give you that scripture. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys. I have the authority. I have the keys of Hades and death. You see, there's something that we need to remember. It's very important that under the old covenant, whomever died, both the righteous and the unrighteous, went down into Hades, down into the heart of the earth. There were two compartments there. One was Abraham's bosom, and that's where the righteous went when they passed. The other was Hades or hell, And that's where suffering took place for the unrighteous. And you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man was ungodly in his life, and so where did he end up after he died? He ended up in Hades. And then Lazarus was a poor man, but at least he knew God, and he ended up in Abraham's bosom. Well, the rich man said to Father Abraham, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm being tormented in these flames. So he could see him, but Father Abraham said, there's this great chasm between us. And so what Jesus did when he stripped Satan of his authority, he took the keys that unlocked the prison doors. And he unlocked the doors to Abraham's bosom. And he released all the righteous saints. Amen. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, I believe that he ascended in the clouds, the scriptures says. I believe that all those saints went up with him to a place called paradise. Amen. In heaven. So they've been released. Now, under the New Testament, when a person that loves the Lord dies, we never see hell. We go immediately to the presence of the Lord, to that place called paradise. Amen. And we know paradise is there because Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven to a place called paradise. Amen. And so think about it. When Jesus won the victory in hell, the Bible says he had a victory parade down the main street of eternity. Amen. Declaring his victory over the devil and over hell. Isn't that good? Is that good news? Amen. So he went to the cross and he overcame sin. Then he died and he overcame death. Because aren't you glad for the resurrection? Then he went to hell and he overcame hell. So one other roadblock was the grave. Because if we're going to make it to the Father and we all die, we got to get beyond the roadblock of the grave. So did Jesus have a plan for the grave? And the answer is absolutely yes. Jesus was raised from the dead to prepare a way through the grave. See, no man had ever escaped the grave. I know that under the Old Testament, the prophets did raise some people from the dead. But those people that were raised from the dead, they lived a little while longer and died again. Jesus raised some people from the dead. And those people also lived a little while longer and died again. I don't think it's very fair for somebody to have to die twice. Amen. But no one could escape the throngs of the grave, not until Jesus. The Bible tells us that on the third day, Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. What does that mean? Well, all of hell was celebrating his death. The grave was boasting on the fact that it had the Son of God in its grasp. The angels were bowing their heads. They didn't know what was going on. Demons were rejoicing. God had a plan. God sent a glory bolt out of the throne room of God. The glory of God is the goodness of God in manifestation. And that glory bolt of God's goodness flashed through space, through the cosmos at the speed of light, past the stars, past the planets, past the sun. It entered the earth's atmosphere. And even though the devil is the little g god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, he had no power to stop the goodness of God that was heading for a resurrection. Amen. And that goodness of God pierced through that cold, damp, dark tomb and touched and reached the lifeless body of our loving Savior. And in a millisecond, Jesus was raised from the dead. The stone was rolled away and he walked out. He was alive, alive, alive forevermore. Never to die again. That's the point. Never to die again. And he had a resurrected, glorified human body. See, what does that look like? Well, he could eat fish and fellowship with his brethren. He could walk through walls. If he thought about being a certain place, off he went. Sorry, I scared the person down there doing the signs. Sorry about that. That's a hazard of looking that way. But here's the good news, what this tells us. And I want you to get excited because I'm so excited about this. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out the ground, because there ain't no grave that's gonna hold this body down. Amen. He was the firstborn of many brethren. You know what that means? He made a way for us. He was resurrected, and we're going to be resurrected. Amen. The Bible tells us that one day, and I believe it soon, Jesus is going to appear on the scene. He's going to roll back the clouds like a scroll. There's going to be a shout and the voice of an archangel. He's going to bring back with him those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. Their bodies are in the earth. All of a sudden, there's going to be a rumbling and a quaking, and those bodies are going to come up out of the graves. The graveyards are going to look like plowed fields. Their spirits are going to be coming down with Jesus. Their bodies are going to go up, and all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the corruption is going to put on incorruption. The mortality is going to put on immortality. They're going to be transformed. They're going to have a glorified human body. Amen. That's exciting. But it also says, and we who are alive and remain. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that group. How many of you want to be in that group? We who are alive and remain are going to get caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, what does that look like? That looks like you're loving Jesus and you're walking along this life's road, and the next step is going to be in the atmosphere, praise God. Amen. And your rapture, you're getting caught up, is a testimony to the fact that Jesus made a way through the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And then there's one last roadblock. You say, well, he was resurrected from the dead. What else is there to do? He needs to return back to heaven. So he lifted the roadblock of heaven. And again, in the same way he came down, he went back up. He ascended to heaven. Now he's got a glorified human body. This is the first time in history that a man, the man Christ Jesus, with a glorified human body, is walking through the courts of the heavenly temple. He made it through the cosmos. He made it past the stars and the planets. And he ends up in that place called heaven. And he's walking through the temple. He passes through the first court. He passes through the second court. And he walks right into the Holy of Holies. Now he's come as high priest. So he's come with his own blood. And like the high priest of old, with the index finger of his right hand, he dips his finger in his blood and he sprinkles his blood 7 times on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And when he reaches the number 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, finally, number 7, thank you. 7, he purchases our eternal redemption. Amen. We're redeemed. He sends the Holy Spirit. He says, Holy Spirit, get down them and empower the church to follow me. I told them to follow me. They need your help. Get down there. Empower them to follow me. Well, why, Jesus? Because I made a way where there was no way. I am the way. I know the way. I made the way. And the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, here's the good news. If we follow him, you can't get any closer to God than the right hand of the Father. That's the right hand of his power. That's the right hand of his presence. He sent Jesus so that each one of us could come all the way to his right hand in fellowship with him. Oh, I have a wonderful scripture. And that's over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, he's talking to us, having boldness. See, that was Jesus. When he walked through the courts, he was walking with boldness because he knew what his blood would do. Having boldness to enter, not just the outer court, not just the inner court, but the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way. Who's the new and living way? Jesus. Jesus, he's got his glorified human body. He's removed all the roadblocks. He's made it all the way to the right hand of the Father. He's alive forevermore, a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest, that's Jesus, over the house of God. Notice, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. In faith, we're already there. But this is a passage that is challenging us to follow him. Let us now draw near. Let us now begin our journey. Let us now begin that journey that will conclude at the right hand of the Father. Here's the truth. Every human person is on a road to somewhere. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who find it. You know that word Broadway? You know, Broadway, that's where the lights are flashing and the bars and all of that. Broadway, the world. The world loves the Broadway. But Jesus said, make sure you find the narrow way that leads to life. He said, there's few that find that one, but that's his way. That's his way that he knew when he left heaven. I'm going to make a way. I am that way. He removed every roadblock so that in a moment like right now. By the way, I don't think you're here haphazardly. I think God sent angels to your house to get you here today. We have told the old redemption story. And by nature, the gospel demands a response. You say, well, I'm not going to respond today. No. Oh, yeah. If you don't respond, you've responded. The gospel demands a response. But in a moment just like this, God's going to rip away the veil that's blinding the eyes of people and let them see his true love, how awesome it is. We all deserved the death that Jesus died for us. But he punished his own son that through faith he might be able to bless us. You say, how can I start down the right road? Well, if you're on the wrong road, take a U-ey. Turn around. What does repent mean? Turn around, go the other way. Isn't it interesting how all these words line up with the way, with the road, with the path? If you're on the wrong road, you know it, especially after hearing the message of God's love. Today's the day for you to turn around and start going in the other direction.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.